The subject is that it's stuff that people have learned in yeshiva. And when you're learning it, you're like, okay, a couple guys carrying Zeba b'chavisoy, Zeba b'kadoy. You know, like, you know, you're carrying your pole and you're carrying your bucket, and you know, is this like real life stuff? But the mindset, what we're going to see is that the yesoidos that come out from the very simple gemaras in Baba Kama are basically the yesoidos for all damages in halacha. And you guys could tell me if basically this is the way I think legally it works as well. It's important because it's important to note the following. Damages is one of the very perfect examples where there's really no government legal intervention. It's really just the two people between themselves, and they need to work it out, right? No one cares what you guys decide. It's not like legally they're going to come in and what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
enforce
or, you know,
No one's going to say you crashed into somebody, you need to go pay the money.
You need to pay. The other guy's Michael. So therefore, the Dina de Machusa Dina plays very little role when you're two people hit an accident. If two people get into a car accident, really, it should not go to Dina de Machusa Dina. The two people are you, then they should go to Bezdin and figure it out. Okay, so insurance does play a factor in that. Since insurance companies are non-Jewish, so you are permitted to file an insurance claim. But, you know, damages don't have to be car accidents where there's insurance. Damages could be more simple things. But still expensive. So it's a very good example where maybe you have a client comes to you and says, hey, you represent me, this guy, you can't believe he did this to me, you know, and hold on. Is he chayiv? Is he potter? If al pidin, let's say, if al pidin, the mazik is potter. So if you're representing the mazik, it's very not poshut to try to be moitzi moment shalik adin. Right? Now, if it's control, I'm trying to get the right word, but there's government, there's It's control, or it's an industry which is very regulated. So then it's different. Then you're going into a certain agreement. Let's say you have employee-employer. You had someone slips on the building. You have insurance. These types of things. So okay, maybe that's, you know, but in simple cases, simple I mean, just nizik mazik, the mazik each other. One really needs to be sure that the claim that's being made is a claim which is upheld in din.
But there's still, even in simple cases, there's still a legal framework that entitles a party to a remedy. In other words,
it depends.
It's not like
if you went into an agreement with someone, and in that agreement is binding conditions like a contract or something, so then maybe you're right. Like you said, workers' comp. So
yeah, that's a government regulation.
Right. So therefore, that's regulated. That therefore, even though halachically, if you're sitting here and there's water on the floor and you slip, then maybe if you tear your pants, then they have to pay for that. Maybe, you know, bor v'la'odam. But like, I was out for work for 3 months, and my shoulder and my doctor. They don't have to pay for that. There's no chiyav and al pidin.
It's good David Silverman didn't come.
yeah. I don't want to put David out of business. I'm saying, but I'm saying there's no. You're not halachically chayav for all that. So now, but hold on. But I signed a contract with you. I'm entering the building every day under certain understandings, and there's insurance, and you're paying for this insurance, and I'm coming in al das kain, and we have an agreement, kind of, to be covered for that. So maybe that's different. But let's say two people have nothing to do with each other. They're sitting there in a public park, and a guy throws a baseball into my glasses.
Yeah, no, I guess my point was is that the idea of tort is that you have a duty. You have a duty to exercise due care, and if you don't, right, the reason why
no, I understand.
You consume
it. Good. We also believe that. We believe that probably more than the legal says, because we adam wad la'ilam. We hold that there's no tor oinus in Ezekiel. But it's not a matter of achrayus, but it's a matter of lamaisa. How does it play out? Also, groma and garmi are huge factors in this.
Why can't you say adam mod la'ilam? Let the guy be careful before he slips on the fence. Why do you assume that
adam mod la'ilam is on the mazik, not on the nizik?
Why not?
No, I'm saying maybe he put water. He should be careful.
Because that's the mosaic doesn't mean that if I'm negligent and water happens to be on the floor.
No, but, but that's a bar. It's not an adam. Yeah. You don't pay for refuah. Only adam mamazik pays for ripui. There's a lot of problem. So the garmi and groma. A guy just called me up that his daughter was going to camp and the camp closed. That famous camp closing case. Right, so do they have to give the money back? Yeah, okay, fine. So they have to give the money back, whatever it is. Yeah, but I bought tickets to fly my daughter up. I bought her
You don't get that reliance damages?
No, that's groma. Oh, that's groma. That's indirect damage. Indirect damage is no chiv in halacha for that.
So all consequential damages.
All consequential can damage is not actionable in Bezdin. It's not chai b'dei shemayim, the Gemara says.
Oh yeah.
But it's not actionable in Bezdin. There's nothing you can do about it in Bezdin. Now, Chai B'dei Shemayim, you tell someone that, maybe they'll make up Shara, they'll whatever. But
Rakan said also by defamation, there's different but limited. Not Rakan, who's the one from
Rabbi Zimmerman?
Yeah, he said that they would make the Pshara that maybe because of the B'dei Shemayim that you'll pay something in addition to the apology
or we'll put the mechila at a like Wisconsin the mechila we'll give you mechila
if you do it right.
So I'll go upon him. I would think that if a person is in a certain type of atmosphere, so again, if it's something which is regulated, that may be different. But if it's not, and the two people don't have a previous relationship, and they're just kind of they bumped into each other. So, what will be the? It's important to know what the halacha is. Just and then at that point, once it's two firm people dealing with each other that are willing to understand the halacha, so it's really important to know that. So a lot of things that we've discussed in the past are more regulated. So the din of the machus adina plays a larger role over here. Aside from insurance, the din of the machus adina does play a less of a role. I do think though. So once we learn the rules, we'll see. I think that a lot of the rules probably are similar. So I was led to believe, but you can tell.
So by insurance, can you get consequential damages? Because
because
I'm purchasing that,
because what's happening is that first of all, the insurance company is not Jewish. There's a lot of reasons for that. Number two is because so they're not governed by this. And number two is because there's an unspoken agreement, since legally, in order to drive, you have to have insurance. So it's almost like it's regulated now. So it's like I have a relationship with you. Like if I'm driving and you're driving on the street, so we're both going in al das, that insurance is going to govern who's chayv and who's pater, not anything else. So that may be different also.
Why? Is outside, is a little bit more outside, but there's a common law idea. There's in America, there's a common law, in England, there's common law. So, negligence is a question of common law, which originated actually from the King's Court in England, and that's where it's from. This is how things were decided. What makes something din de malchusa, meaning is there a distinction between a statute or who's enforcing something?
I don't believe so, but. Bob, how are you?
You missed. We almost put the PI industry out of business. But
why?
Because PI, there's no consequential damages in halacha. No, what's called grumma.
How could there be no consequential
damages? Only actual damages, like fidupta.
Actual damages and consequential damages are the same thing.
maybe the lawyers, but I'm saying there's compensatory, which is the actual out of pocket, right. And then there's I couldn't do this. In reliance on it, I did that. All those special damages. That's what we're talking about. That's what I mean by consequential. But if it's through insurance, you can.
Insurance, you can file a regular insurance claim. But we're going to talk. We're going to try to give some examples that are a little bit more simple, not non-insurance type of examples. And what's nice about it is that there's basically rules that come out of very very simple lines of the Gemara. Straight from the Talmud, straight from the Gemara, and the rules basically carry through. But before we start the source, I want to give one introduction, which is that in general, in halacha, we distinguish between pshia, negligence, and onus, something that's beyond your control. So, for example, when it comes to most halachic areas, if someone did something be'onus, someone did something which was completely out of their control, they're exempt. Okay? But once, in order to be held responsible for anything, generally, there needs to be some level of negligence. But when it comes to damages, it's not true. Damages is an exception. The Gemara says, Adam mu'ad lo'aylam. A person has to watch themselves, no matter what. And we don't give any exception for oinus, for something which was out of your control. Even if it was out of your control, you're still obligated to pay for the damage. Because what's it the fault of the other guy? You're responsible for your actions. At the end of the day, you have to be held responsible for your actions. Now, there is a machlokas, and we paskin, there needs to be some way that you could have prevented it had you been more careful to some degree. So, let's give an example. I was sitting down on the edge of my roof. I have my rooftop, I'm enjoying it, not right now, but, you know, in the winter, I'm sitting on my rooftop, I'm enjoying myself.
You're not like the Secret Service who can't go on sloped roofs.
So I'm enjoying myself up there. I'm resting, I fell asleep, and someone put a heavy, the Gemara calls a heavy rock on my lap. Okay, I wake up from my nap, I get up, the rock falls over the edge and hits someone's car. Right? Haisa Evan Munachas al Chekai Va'omar V'Nafal.
So you were still waking up?
I woke up, but I still didn't notice that the guy came. I woke up, I was reading my book, I woke up, grabbed my book, and then got up. I didn't notice.
What caused the rock to fall?
Well, I got up. It was on my lap.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It was on my lap, and I got up. So the Gemara says that you are obligated for the damage, even though the other guy put the rock on. But even though you're not pesha, you're not negligent, per se, because really, why should you have assumed that it's there? But you could have stopped it, technically, if you were extra careful. So it's together of an oines that you could have prevented. So you're chayiv. You have to pay for that damage.
You know, that's interesting because there's a, I'm sure you know, there's a doctrine in tort law called res ipsa loquitur. The thing speaks for itself. So if like a safe falls out of a window and you hit somebody, it doesn't matter whether the person was negligent or not. Safes are not supposed to fall out of windows. No, it's the same type of...
Right. So in other words, we don't necessarily judge the damage based on the level of negligence. That's what you're saying. Right. So we believe in that as well.
Who put the stone there?
Anybody. Doesn't matter.
They're not responsible?
No.
They're not like contributory?
Not really.
The sleeping persons? Are you?
No.
The
Gemara does say, Yerushalmi, the Tosafot brings a Yerushalmi, that if you were sleeping and someone put an expensive vase next to your arm and you went like, you know, and knocked over the vase, then there's nothing you could have done about that. So then you are exempt. And then the question becomes, is the guy that put it there chayiv? But not in this case.
The Mishnah says, "Beit Ar Ban Yosef, Adam Mu'ad Lo'aylam." Doesn't it say even when you're sleeping too?
I don't know the answer to that right now. I hear what you're saying. What was it? I brought up a Bacamo.
If you know something that's around when you're sleeping, you can't say, well, I was sleeping and it happened. But if someone takes
you up and drops you on top of a...
I think that's where you went to sleep and you knew it was there.
Yeah, it's probably when you went to sleep and you knew it was there.
Well, that's not clarified. If you knew it was there... And
you knew it was there, but I'm talking about when I got put it there after I went to sleep.
Oh, right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. One other example where you're exempt, even though because you were not negligent, even though we don't take negligence into account, but there are multiple exceptions. So, the following case. The Gemara talks about the following case, but there's many cases like this. Again, we have to, we apply the Gemara's case to the other cases. But the Gemara's case, a fascinating case, is that a father had borrowed in his lifetime an ox, a cow, whatever. He had borrowed this ox to plow or whatever it is. He died prematurely, and the children took over the estate, and they see there's a cow there. They don't know the history of the cow. Is it the father's? Did he borrow it? What's it for or not? Comes Pesach time for the Seder. They need some meat. So they slaughter the cow. Assuming it's the father's cow, they've got to take one out of the barn. They take this cow out. They have their meat for Pesach. Now the owner comes, where's my cow? Where's your cow? We shechted it. So the Gemara says that the children are exempt. They don't have to pay for it.
Right.
And then the question becomes, why, at some point, even though they weren't negligent, so here it seems like the Ramban says it's beyond not negligence. There's basically nothing they could have. There was no level of negligence there at all. No, there's nothing that they could. There's no culpability because what they did was completely normal. It's like you said, safes are not supposed to fall out of windows, but people are supposed to slaughter their cows.
Yeah, but
and therefore,
people are supposed to find out who the cow belongs to.
Well, this is part of their father's estate, so they assume it's the father's, and that's considered a right. They have the right to assume that.
Why should they have the right to assume that? I mean, they should know that their father, they should take an inventory of the estate. I think that's the logical thing to do, and they should find out who
This stuff is not recorded anywhere. They have an estate. The house has all sorts of items inside, and they assume it's part of the estate.
That would be unjust because if they killed someone else's ox, then the damage would deplete their estate. They shouldn't have inherited that in the first place. So why it seems to me that totally consistent with justice. We're not dealing with blame here. We're dealing with a property right. So they didn't own it. They killed it. They need to compensate the owner, and it should deplete their estate because they shouldn't have inherited it in the first place.
They didn't inherit it in the first place.
They didn't.
They didn't. But as damagers, they have zero level of culpability. So there's not considered hezek. In other words, what the Rishonim are taking out of this piece of Gemara is that if what you're doing is an act which is completely understood to be normal, you can't be held accountable for it. So, an example given as an application for that is someone is hired. Let's say someone else would have switched it on them. In other words, any time that what you're doing is within the realm of normal. So at work you use a certain type of a certain utensil and it breaks or something like this. You're not held accountable for that because that's within, you're using it in the normal way that's meant to be used.
Suppose instead of an ox, the father was renting property and the estate, his heirs assumed that he owned it. And they came and they treated the property in the normal way that we're talking about, as if they owned it. And then the real owner came and said, no, this is mine. I allowed your father to use it, but now,
they would get a bet. Obviously, the owner would get a bet. Plus, he would get any of the existing.
Right. So why is that different with the ox?
Because here you have to obligate them to pay for the damage specifically, and damage requires a certain level, very low level, but a certain level of knowledge of the fact, or we don't. It doesn't have to be negligence, but like we said, it has to be there's some level of an understanding that you could have acted differently to avoid the situation. And there's nothing here; it's beyond their control to have.
But I'm saying it's a property right situation, it had nothing to do with negligence. Right, it has to do with who's the owner of the ox.
But the way that Halacha, I guess, looks at it is that in order to hold somebody liable to pay something, you have to be. You look at the perspective of the person who did the damage, not the person who was damaged.
Right. I mean, we say it's a very low level of responsibility because it's even onus, even though something like this generally would not be obligated in any other area of halacha, right? If someone, but when it comes to damage, we lower the threshold a lot. You don't have to have negligence, but you have to have some level of awareness that you could have prevented it. And since there's nothing everything you did was within the realm of normal, then we're going. There's no negligence there whatsoever.
Why isn't this analyzed under a gazela lens, not hezek? In other words, I think that's sort of like, I think legally it would be like conversion. It wouldn't be
okay. Damage. So the children do have to pay the value of the good meal, because that they actually benefit, like you said. They do have, they don't have to pay for the damage. No.
You say they don't have to,
because that's nene. That's nene. There's no gzela. It's a shoyl. They had it was already in their rishos. It was in their rishos as shoyl.
If I take someone's pen by accident.
Not someone's pen. Here it was the father's pen. So it was in the rishos of the father.
They
were the hemshach of the shoyl.
They were allowed to be a shoyl.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, but you are correct that there is a chiyuv of nene. In terms of what you're saying about gzela, so this is a chiyuv of nene. So they do have to pay for the value of the meat, because like you, that's more equivalent to what you're saying. Forget the damage, but the property was mine, and now you benefited from it. You got to pay at least what you benefited from the property. But the damage, you don't have to pay. That's how we look at it. That's an exception. What I'm trying to say is, most cases we're always going to obligate the damager. There's a few exceptions. One exception is if what you're doing is completely within the realm of acceptable behavior, and you were supposed to, what you did was normal. A doctor, you know, who damages without getting involved in malpractice and stuff like that, if what he did was considered to be normal, possibly he doesn't have to pay these types of things. That's one exception. The other exception is when is there a term, the damagee? Who's the victim?
Yeah.
The damagee is at fault. If he, even though he was damaged, but if he participated in the damage, then as long as there's no negligence from the damager side, then the damager doesn't have to pay.
Both. There's comparative negligence. Both of them are.
I know. I don't think we go with comparative.
According to this illustration, if they're both at fault, then there's no damage.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say before. Why don't you blame the guy for slipping on the wood? Why don't you check and see if there's wood on the floor before you slip? That's what I'm trying to say before.
It's not called pshia. Yeah. Because you left it there. The Gemara talks about that. You're right. If you could have checked, you could have checked. Okay, so let's talk about a case. Two kids are in a park. I'm just throwing this out there because it's summertime. Let's say over bar mitzvah, for argument's sake, a lower than bar mitzvah kids don't have to pay for damage. Parents don't have to pay for the damage of their children if they're younger than bar mitzvah age. So, what? Or don't damage people. But anyway, so these guys are in the park, and another guy is sitting on a park bench. He's reading. These two kids are playing, and the ball goes and breaks his glasses. Case number one. Case number two is he's walking through. Little does he know that these kids are playing catch over the path, and he's walking or whatever on the grass. He's walking through, and then the ball hits him and breaks the glasses. There's a distinction between those two cases. Do the kids have to play? No one's doing anything wrong. You know, they didn't throw it too hard. They weren't using. Everyone's pretty much doing exactly what they're supposed to. No one's doing anything wrong over here, but they played ball and he got damaged. Is there any obligation? And if so, is there a difference between those two cases? So that's where.
Because the guy is the distinction being the guy is walking into the.
He essentially walked into the ball at that point. Right. So, that's literally going to be. We could take this straight out of the first line. It's very rare that you could take something straight out of the Gemara, out of the Talmud, and basically by the time you enter into the halacha, it's the same. By the time you finish with the Rambam and Rashi and the Rosh and the Rif and the Sma and the Shach, it doesn't necessarily. But here, it's very. The Gemara really is the halacha l'maisa. The Gemara says like this in Baba Kama, Mem Chesem Beis 48b. Shneim Bershus. Two people are walking somewhere, are engaged in an activity with permission. Oy Shneim Shloi Bershus. Or they're both there with no permission. So what's an example of Bershus? Two people in the park. They're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. No one's doing anything wrong. Shneim Shloi Bershus. They both trespassed in my backyard. Or they're playing ball in a parking lot, where a parking lot is not meant to be used for ball playing. It's also not meant to be used to sit down and pull up a beach chair and read your book there, right? Hiziku zeh zeh.
So it's not just that you can't be there, but if you're not using it for...
Correct. It's using it in an incorrect way. Okay? Hiziku zeh zeh. If they damaged each other, chayavim. Whoever does the damage has to pay. Even though he is doing what he's supposed to be doing, and he's allowed to be doing what he's doing, but if he damaged somebody else who's also doing what they're supposed to be doing, then he has to pay. The damager has to pay. Okay? So case number one, he's throwing the ball, the guy's reading a book, he's allowed to read a book, he's allowed to play ball, the ball hit the guy's glasses, you have to pay for the glasses. That's it. But who's kuzebaze, if it was a passive damage, that means that really the damagee participated in the damage. He was not stationary. He wasn't just minding his own business. He was an active participant in the damage. Then even though he's bershus, even though he's permitted to be doing what he's doing, peturin, that you don't have to pay for.
Just a grammar thing. You know that this is meaning that the damage happens to them because it's husku versus hiziku?
Yeah, that's exactly the whole point.
It's a passive verb.
The way I touched his hiziku means they damage each other. Husku is they were damaged from each other. So I'm just defining it according to the Sma. The Sma says husku means he was stationary. But the point is, you want to say more literally, he was damaged from the other one. So let's give an example. Case number two. I'm allowed, or we'd be walking through the park. I'm allowed to be walking through the park.
Exactly.
Right? He's allowed to be playing ball, and I'm allowed to be walking through the park. But if I, when I walk through the park, put my head in through the ball playing, then I was damaged from them. They did not damage me. I was damaged from them, and therefore they don't have to pay for my damage. Because I was also actively involved in the damage.
The fault has nothing to do with this analysis.
That's what we're trying to say from before. It's not a matter of fault because ultimately you do have to take responsibility for your actions if you could have avoided it based on what we said before. But it's a question of correct. That's not the idea.
If it's not a question of fault, then what is the distinction? Why is the distinction drawn?
Because it's a question of... It's not a matter of fault, but do you, if you were... It's a question of upon who is the responsibility to have avoided this. If the person who was damaged is stationary, he's not moving, then the entire responsibility to have avoided it, the burden is placed on the damager. But if he was actively involved, then clearly there's something he could have done to avoid it, then he contributed, then we place some of the responsibility on him.
I think in
legally you would say like there's percentages and stuff?
No, I mean some states have it's comparative negligence, but there's also something, I think it's called like the last clear chance doctrine or something. I can remember in law school, there's something like if you were the last one and there's a colliding, but you were the last one with awareness to say, hey, go somewhere else, you're either more responsible or only responsible because you had the last
minute. Kind of avoided at the last minute.
Even though you're both going maybe
right.
Even negligently.
The fault, but the person that could have avoided it is more at fault.
It's more at fault, right.
Because
right.
They had the last clear chance to prevent it.
Correct. Right. Okay, we'll see if that where that comes in. It's possible that it comes in. Another example of this would be they're both permitted to be there. Two guys are on the beach, people on, you know, and they're tanning on the beach. So they're lying down on the floor, and someone walks and trips over them and falls and breaks their glasses. So again, they're not going to say, well, what were you doing here? I'm allowed to be here. You walked over me. So you were damaged in me. So the responsibility becomes, again, the damagee has to take responsibility for that. That's also a case of they were, you know. Now, obviously, if you think to yourself how this would apply to car accidents, it's very, you know, it is a simple application. Two people are driving, and they're going according to the speed limit, and, you know, let's assume it's a head-on collision. So if it would be a head-on collision, and basically they both were really not negligent somehow or other. How's that possible? Like Lakewood Yeshiva in the old driveway, right? What was the old driveway? It was a one-way driveway both ways. It's called Olin Gava.
If you get into an accident before you turn on the car, it's clear who's at fault. Once you turn on the car,
right. So in other words, we're driving down a narrow street, and both parties tried to avoid it, each other, and they hit each other. So since nobody did anything wrong, and they were damaged in each other, they were both called Husku Zebazeh. Each one participated in the damage, then the halacha will be that they're both potter. They're both exempt. Even if one got damaged more than the other, they will both be exempt. Because they both participated in the damage.
Maybe one person swerved out of the way from something.
If one person wasn't moving, then, and if one person was not moving, then the one that was moving... Well, here, one second. But the one, no. But here's the thing. But if both people are brashus, it's again, it's a narrow street, and one guy decides, you know what, I'm going to move over. I'm not trying this. He moves over to the side. The other guy goes. Another guy hits him. When another guy hits him, so he damaged the stationary person. In addition to that, he got damaged also, his car. So he has to pay the stationary person because he damaged him, but the person who's stationary does not have to pay for the damages occurred because that was huskuzebazeh, he's potter, he's zikuzezezchayet. So for the damage that he did by moving, he has to pay for the damage that got, that the other person, you know, it happened to him because of the other car. Now, what would happen if the car was there illegally parked? And as I'm trying to get past him, I, A, damaged his car, B, he damages my car. Let's see the next case of the Gemara. Taima, the Gemara analyzes the statement. Taima, the Shneim Bershus, or Shneim Shalei Bershus. This is all because they're both equal. They're both, no one's negligent, everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing, or neither are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But what happens if one is doing what he's supposed to and one is not? Aval echad brishos or echad shaloi brishos. One brishos means with permission, you know, literally. So it means one is permitted to be doing the activity he's doing, the other one is not. Then the one who's permitted is completely exempt, both for damages that he caused and even for damages that he caused. And the shaloi brishos, the one who's there without permission, is obligated, first of all, for damage that he caused, but even for damage that the other person, that he was husku. That even if the other person got damaged because of him, he also has to pay. So, for example, so
does it matter why the person didn't have permission? In other words, suppose it had nothing to do with the cause of the accident. One thing is, okay, you weren't there. You were there without permission and you were blocking part of the highway and that contributed to the accident. The other thing was, you know, we have, you know, alternate side of the street parking, so when the cleaning trucks come through, we want to keep that side open. It had nothing to do with the accident. Doesn't it matter why the permission wasn't given?
So I don't think so.
No,
I mean, I didn't see that distinction. So
still, but for them being on the other side of the street, the damage would have happened. So it's not the cause; it's the direct cause, not maybe the.
Well, it could be if permission was designed to clear the street, that's one thing. If it was designed for some other purpose.
Let's give you some examples, okay? So let's take an example: someone's parked illegally in a parking lot, and someone's trying to get out. And someone's trying to get out, they hit the car. That's parked illegally?
The parking lot.
What?
The middle of Kalkasi is the parking lot.
You know who's parking lot?
The Ashola North Miami Beach.
Oh.
And having a parking lot.
Everybody's double parking.
And people go and they park.
It's designed for trouble. Or it's not designed for trouble.
And people pull it on the side, and the middle is supposed to be open. What happens is once it gets full,
and the New Yorkers come.
People pull straight. They pull straight down the middle of the parking lot. They just form another row, so people back up so that you can
do it. Yeah. So someone's illegally parked, and then another person comes by. Okay. So now, the other person comes by. He A did damage to the car that was illegally parked, and his car got that when he tried to get by, his car got scratched also. The halacha is, he obviously does not have to pay for the damage that he caused to the illegally parked car. But not only that, the illegally parked car is responsible for the damage that he ended up causing. Who's Kuzebazeh? Even though, because you got damaged in me, you did nothing wrong. You were just driving down. Then the illegally parked car would have to pay for it as well. Pashup shot. Simple.
Oh, being in the wrong place at the wrong
time. Yeah.
That's only negligence, right? I mean, can you intentionally scrape the guy because he's parked illegally?
No.
I mean, he's in my way. Right? Can I just scrape him?
No.
No,
no, not. No, even more so. It depends. It depends. If you could have avoided it, then yeah. If you could have avoided it, then you're potter.
But
Gemara like talks about a fascinating case. I have. I like practicing. I have a big dartboard, and I practice shooting my darts in my basement. Guy walks in. I have no idea. He was not invited in. Guy walks into my living room, walks right in front, and bam, I hit him. So he is shelo bershus. He had no business being in my house. Therefore, I have absolutely no responsibility to him. And therefore, I don't have to pay for the damage. A. B. He sits in my house. He's there. I don't know what. I didn't know that he was going to be there. And I trip over him and I break my glasses. He has to pay for my glasses. Because again, I don't have to be. I don't have to watch out for people that are not supposed to be in my house.
He has to pay for your damaged dart.
Damaged dart. Now, to Tuvia's point, the Gemara says this. Now, this is a machlokas. This is already not clear cut. That's why I tried to keep to only the clear cut things. But to your point, the simple reading of the Gemara would be. And this is how Rashi says it, but the Rambam says differently. But Rashi says, once you see the person, then he's considered, then everything changes. So I see him walking in. I'm like, what are you doing here? Continue with the dart. And he walks in front, and then he gets damaged. I do have to pay.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, does it?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, you
can prevent it, but the
guy's
there, you take advantage, you throw a dart, you take down one of his
arms.
The point is, he has no business being there. So, that's Rashi's opinion. Rashi's opinion is, once you see it, okay, so now...
Wait, what if you see him and...
That's actually very important. This is very important when you want to analyze car accidents, because... We'll see how that all plays in. What?
No, just say, what if you want to throw it at him because you think he's a god of, and you try okay, to... But you're wrong. No, I'm saying...
That's other mode loylom. I mean, you're not allowed to damage him because you think he's damaging you.
Even if he's in my house without permission, I'm not...
Okay, I mean, yeah.
Don't come without permission.
Josh,
you're getting into self-defense there? You say you feel...
Yeah, all self-defense.
Okay,
yeah.
Self-defense is a different story. I mean, but let's say it's just your neighbor. It's just... He's not a dangerous guy. He just knows
it. You like your...
He just knows
it. Isn't that like question in terms of, in other words, there's a whole other case, right? All the cases with the condom, where someone puts condom in your yard. In other words, it's a whole different issue in terms of when are you allowed to intentionally damage someone because his thing is
correct.
Where it's not
that
to be.
That's more so subject to the sugya of it in his dinal and
after. Right. So yeah. If you see him, that's you're being done dinal and after.
Yeah.
Unless it's not guaranteed you're going to
right. That's pashtus a whole different story. So. Let's talk about car accidents. Let's take it to one step further, which is a little bit what Bob was talking about, which is what does it mean you're there with permission without permission? Let's say we're on a public street, we're on a public highway. Everyone's allowed to drive there, but you're not going according to the speed limit. So is that considered shelo b'rishus now? I'm allowed to drive, but I'm not allowed to drive at that speed.
Yeah, why not? Because you wouldn't be at that place but for you going faster.
Oh.
I had this argument with a professor of mine in law school. So
okay. No. So the halacha is that like this. Even though when we started off the class, we were saying is that all these types of cases that we discussed till now were cases that are not regulated by law. I'm in my backyard, you know, in the park, we're hitting glasses, all these things. And therefore, two Jews that would encounter such an incident would have to follow the Choshen Mishpat and not the legal law. Even though I don't think it's that different. But they would have to follow the Choshen Mishpat. When it comes to car accidents, it's very different because it's regulated and there's insurance and it's a very different story. However, leaving that aside, what determines whether you're allowed to be there or you're not allowed to be there, or the way you're allowed to be there, is the law. Even according to the halacha, recognizes that. In other words, the law would determine what your nature and what your right to have, what your rights to use the street are. Okay, so if the law says you're only allowed to use it this way or that way, right? Or if the law says you're illegally parked there, and then two Jews coming to shul, one hits the other, you'd say, well. Oh, we're going with Choshmish, not Dina de Machus Adina. Yeah, but Dina de Machus Adina said, you're Shalom Rishus. and therefore that's considered shlubber shos. Okay, now let's get to an example of a car accident based on what we said till now. I want to just we have to be mocked in one more thing. The Gemara generally says that when introduction. So one person's most cases you'll be able, with this little line of the Gemara you'll be able to pretty much determine it.
So someone short stops.
Well, first of all, I don't want to get the short stop. Yeah. So two people are driving. So he said head-on collision, and they're both going properly. And so one guy's going straight, right? One guy's going straight. Another guy makes a left turn. Now he doesn't have the right of way, and therefore he made the left turn. He was shalober shus, presumably, making that left turn. He had permission to make the left turn if it's clear, but if it's not clear, he doesn't have permission to make the left turn. So now, is he considered? And they hit each other. Is he considered shalober shus? He has permission to do that. He doesn't have permission. What's his responsibility now at this point? Well, how do we look at it? I would think that if the other person is not speeding, and the person with the left turn, even if he has the right to make it, but he has the right to make it only when it's clear, so he would be considered shelo birshos, meaning he's there without permission. The one driving straight has the right of way, he's considered birshos. Therefore, any damage that the one who made the turn causes to the guy going straight, he has to pay for. Any damage caused to his car, the other one does not have to pay for. Now, this is even though they really hit each other and they both participated in the damage. So it's like, who's Ebezet? They damaged each other, essentially, but it doesn't matter because even by Echad Bershus or Echad Shalom Bershus, the Shalom Bershus is obligated even for the Husku, even for if the other person got damaged in him.
Does there have to be a causal connection between the Shalom Bershus and
that's
the
what Bob was asking, meaning what? What do you mean by that?
Like, if your taillight happened to be out, when you hit the guy who was making the left, so would you say you're shalom b'shus because you're not supposed to be driving without a taillight? Or would
that's
you say
you're asking, honey,
and there's no causal connection?
But that's different because there you're allowed to be driving. You'll get a ticket for having a taillight.
No,
but he's saying you're not allowed to drive without registration. So you're right now shalom b'shus here.
You can't have your car there according to the law. Your car's not allowed to be there.
So that's a great case. Let's say the guy coming straight is driving without a registration. So now they're both shalom b'shus. If they're both shalom b'shus, the halacha changes. They're both potter from each other now.
The other thing also is that you're now.
No, it's a great shaila. I have to think about that. I don't see if I've arrived to that.
It has to be connected. There has to be something connected because otherwise.
I don't know if it has to be connected. I don't have
any legal nature
but
of it.
Well, how does the law? It's strict liability, isn't it? If you're driving without registration,
Shalom b'shus is the guy who trespassed my house. So what's he doing? So I don't have a shechiv shmir on people that are driving without registration. Let's speak it out, okay? Tosfos explains what's the logic over here. The logic over here is that if I'm driving. If I'm driving with permission, Bershus, I have to think about all the other people that are also Bershus. It's my responsibility to think about all the other people that may be here, Bershus, and avoid damaging them. It's not my responsibility to think about the people that are here, Shalom Bershus.
Why not?
Why not?
What about a child that's crossing the street? Is it your responsibility to think of them?
Well, a child may be considered b'shus, but it's not my responsibility to think about a guy that's going to be speeding or doing other things.
Not speeding. But
so, no, so, okay, okay, so I don't know. That's what I'm trying to say. As opposed to,
Miami, yeah.
if I'm there shalom b'shus, then I have to think about all the people that are shalom b'shus also. Because if I'm speeding, what makes me think that no one else is? Okay? So, you're not like, everyone's driving on the wrong side of the street. Okay? So this is Tosfos' logic. That's what Tosfos says, and the Sma brings this down.
So
let me read you the language of the Tosfos. So based on the Tosfos, what do you guys think? Do I have to think about people that are driving without registration? I don't think it has to do with cause. But I think it has to do with the level of a Achrayus. Listen to Tosfos.
You don't know if somebody doesn't have registration. Yeah, you know who's around you. So, I mean, you don't know who's registration is around. It's a question of how much attention do you have to pay. You don't have to pay attention.
I wasn't.
If you know the guy, you're not going to hit him, right? But
that's
if you're obviously you hit him because you didn't know.
Right.
Also, they don't arrest you if you don't have registration. It's not like you're not allowed on the road.
My wife was driving without registration. It was criminal. That's criminal.
I know, but then they gave her the car and then she went home.
Well, what about
it? Takes a lot to make my wife into a criminal.
You gotta
be really creative.
With an expired license.
I understand that, but I'm saying not all violations. They'll give you they let her drive home afterwards after they gave her whatever citation. So it wasn't like she wasn't allowed there. She was allowed there, but she's being penalized.
It doesn't have to be criminal. Making a left turn is not criminal either if it's not totally...
So listen to the lashon of the Tosfos.
Did she get the
Veneer...
by the way?
What?
No, I'm saying it was...
Yeah, but it was weird. It was like really weird.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, it was literally like... it was a jury. It was a whole thing. What?
It depends if it's... I just looked it up.
No, it was like... It was more than 6 months.
That's the distinction.
Yeah, it was more than 6 months. It was more than 6 months.
Better new marriage.
Wow.
Yeah. I just forgot to put the sticker on. I mean, calm down.
Well, it's your fault, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Venira Lafarish. Listen to the language of the Tosfos when he explains this. It's not on the paper. I'm just reading. Kigon shenichnas lechotzer balabayit shlo brishos. Or brishos. Okay. De'is lei la'asuke adayte. He has to think to himself. He has to entertain the possibility that if I have permission to be here, there's probably other people with permission that are going to be here. Or if I'm here without permission, probably there are other people here without permission. And that's why I'm obligated for all the damage that I would cause. But if one person, aval echad brishos, v'echad shelo brishos, but if one of them has permission, the other one doesn't. So the one that has permission is only obligated, havali lasuki adaiti bahai, v'hai lesli lasuki adaiti bahai. I only have to think about the people that are there at Bershos, because I'm Bershos. I'm a nice, naive guy. I think everyone drives the speed limit. So I'm going to have to think about to be careful from damaging those other people that are there Bershos as well.
Maybe it didn't fall, so it should. There should be.
It's a little asuke daite. No. I don't think it's fault. It's therefore all the responsibility becomes on the Shlo Bershos, because if you're a Shlo Bershos, then all the responsibility becomes on you.
But there's two types of Bershos coming out. There's Bershos in the sense of being allowed to be here.
And then how you're here.
And how you're here.
Yeah, but that's all in ultimately in the same.
You're so to one to the other.
Yeah, but I think, yeah. Okay, then we're going to ask Rabbi Kahn this question. It's a good question. What would be, the guy's making the left, okay? But obviously, if what would happen, here's another question. Tosfos says that the Shelo Brishos is because... because you should entertain the possibility that other people are here. What if it's 4 in the morning and there's nobody ever on this road and I cross a red and bam, someone comes? Or there's like...
You're
Shalom Bershos. I'm Shalom Bershos, but I don't know if I have this tiny of Tosfos that I have to think about the people that are Bershos.
At 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
So if
somebody it's a public road, someone has to be there and they're entitled to rely upon you.
Right. Probably it doesn't change. I would assume it doesn't change the law at the end. So anytime someone did something illegal, we would put all the fault on him. If both are legal, both are doing and it's just an accident, then the halacha would be
But the illegality has to relate to something that caused the accident.
Well, that's the discussion here that we're still not clear on. It's a good question. I like that question.
Is there a concept of something can be, even though it's criminal or illegal, it can become like normalized? In other words, there's a rule that you're not allowed to speed, but everybody on the street goes 30 anyway.
Right. In other words, up to 5 miles over the speed limit, is that considered Shelo Brishos?
Under the law, there's a distinction. There's certain places, certain times that you can't go over the speed limit. Like there's a speed limit, and then there's the statute. Like in school zones or construction zones, is like strict that you can't go over the speed limit. So you can go over the speed limit.
Right.
You can go over the speed limit. The statutes don't say the situations when you can, but from the fact that they have to have a separate statute to say certain situations you can't go over the speed
limit. It's a strange law. There's a law that, you know, you have to follow the law in other cases. It's like it's fine.
We have a concept called negligence per se. So in other words, you don't have to prove that the conduct was wrong if it violated a statute making the conduct wrong, provided that the statute was designed to protect the harm that's addressed by the situation. So there, it's kind of adopting the position that we were...
Right. There would have to be a cause. And
right.
Yeah. One other point is what we're talking about now is that there's head-on collisions. If someone stops, usually in halacha, we put the responsibility on the person in the back that was going. However, the Gemara does say, it's a simple Gemara, but it talks about that there's a guy coming with a pole and a guy coming with a chavis, and the guy stops, and he's responsible. But if he told the person behind him to stop, that shifts the blame to the guy behind now. That shifts the blame. In other words, because I told you to stop. So in general, if you stop short and the guy couldn't stop, it would be your responsibility if he had no way of seeing that you stopped or whatever. Once you tell him that I stopped, it becomes his responsibility.
So
if your brake lights are on and there's enough time that he saw the brake lights that he could have stopped, it becomes his responsibility.
He's not supposed to be following. That's the difference between this and
right.
The
con. Means he's not supposed to have, he needs to have the following. So probably he was shalom b'shus in the first place. Because he couldn't stop when he saw the...
Is that really a question of Rishus, though?
It's not really a question of Rishus, but the point is, why couldn't he stop?
I mean, Fada has something similar, that if there's a presumption that if you rear-end somebody, the person who did the rear-ending is lying.
So here...
The person who got hit, who stopped, can say no, the person behind it can say it was a sudden stop.
What if the guy stopped, but he didn't have the brake lights? So you didn't give sufficient warning because you didn't. It's not the responsibility of me in the back to start thinking, oh, he's slowing down. He's not. If the brake lights are not on, then I don't have to assume he stopped. So the Torah in the halacha would be if he didn't give warning because he stopped without letting me know that he stopped, then he takes all the responsibility.
Probably legally, if you have a dash cam, you could show that the guy did have brake lights working. It's probably his.
I don't know.
Is that true?
Okay. And so I found it interesting that basically all the rules really come from one or two lines. And it's like very, you know.
How are you defining law? You say rishus. What are you using to define rishus?
The government has the permission. It's their streets. So they have the permission to determine how they want you to use them.
But you say, let's say, making a left turn. Well, let's say there's no statute that addresses it.
No, but the right of way is to the people going straight, unless there's room for you to make the left. If there was no room, now if he was speeding and that's why there's no room, maybe that's different. That's probably shalom b'rishos, no? You
and
can't make
the speed. Josh is saying that you can't be b'rishos. You can't be in that space if you hadn't violated the law. That's what Josh was saying about speaking.
It's not a law of violation of law. It's just
I think Sakura goes back to what we were saying earlier, which is like everything is governed by a common law duty of care. And you can only recover, even under American law, I believe, if there was, you have to establish a duty unless there's strict liability. So you're always violating a duty if you're going to be obligated to pay damages. So would we say, okay, he violated it. So basically you're making halacha line up exactly with whatever American tort law would say, because
in a case of what's something that's regulated. Right, but in a park.
Everything's regulated.
Not really.
Everything's regulated. You can't collect for damages unless you can establish that there was a duty that the other person violated, unless it's a strict liability case. Every negligence case, you have to say, here is the duty that this person had. He had a duty to look up while he was walking, or he had a duty.
I'm not sure if that's true. I don't know if that means that you're shalom b'rishos, because you didn't.
So that's what I'm trying to get at. What exactly makes it shalom b'rishos?
I think that's a little more significant.
Statutory law.
Meaning, are you
allowed
to move around?
Someone comes with a bill on the floor. The person that's responsible for the property doesn't have a reasonable chance to pick it up. Someone slips on a banana peel. The owner of the property is not negligent because they didn't have a chance to, you know, even though the banana peel is...
Is the guy who threw the banana peel obligated?
The banana peel is a stranger. We don't know who he is. But someone drops a banana peel. Normally speaking, the person that owns the property is responsible for
right.
keeping the property clean. However, if the time between the banana peel appearing and the person slipping
is too short,
it's right. unreasonable to for someone to pick it up and fix the situation, they're not negligent. They're right. not liable.
I understand.
Well, what's the share? How much is it?
The amount of time that it takes to pick it up, I don't know.
A reasonable time. Reasonable. That's what that's.
No. Whatever that is.
That's what the law is. It's a line drawing thing. So you figure out, you know, it's been there for a couple of hours. It's already brown, you know. It's plenty of time to, you know.
You got to figure that out. But, you know.
No, it's not.
Interesting. All right.
It's on what, you know.